Hello and welcome to Hardcover Hose, a long-distance book club where two book lovers, blah, 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 express their feelings on their book of the moment via podcast. I am one half of your hosts, Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
And I'm Sammy Skorstad.
Together we have combed through book talk, combined our tubby read lists, and now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion.
The book of the moment for today's episode is Yellowface by R.F. Kuang. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Rebecca F. Kuang is the award-winning number one New York Times best-selling author of the Poppy War Trilogy and Babel, an arcane history, as well as the forthcoming Yellowface. A Marshall scholar, she has an M.Phil in Chinese Studies from Cambridge and an M.Sc. in Contemporary Chinese Studies from Oxford. She's now pursuing a PhD in East Asian Languages and Literatures at Yale, where she studies diaspora, contemporary Chinese literature, and Asian American literature.
What is an MPhil?
I don't know.
Is it MPhil a Master's of Philosophy?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Or something?
What, in Chinese Studies? What's an MSc?
Master of the Sciences? No. Master.
R.F. Kuang is so far out of our league, we don't even know what league she's in.
She's so far out of our league, bro. I feel dumb when I read R.F. Kuang's stuff, dude. Mm-hmm. I'm like, big words.
Wait, I didn't tell you this. So this is a minor sidetrack that's still very interesting for the podcast. Thinking of an author, can you think of an author that best, like, reflects who you, what you value and who you are as a person? Or like, just like, if you had to choose one author to represent,
not necessarily like say represent John Green? You. Well, I knew you, you saying John Green. We are just the same person. We just are.
It's not even necessarily, it's like how you would want to be represented as, or like reflects, I don't know exactly.
I genuinely think it's so ironic considering the fact that I will, till the day I die, say I refuse to read stuff male by white men specifically. Yes, but and I'm yet still gonna say men. John Green. Like, I'm still gonna say John Green. We just, like, I think the Anthropocene, like, I've loved him forever, but the Anthropocene Reviewed is like if you took a spoon inside my brain and scooped it all out.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I said Madeline Miller and R.F. Kuang, just because I, not necessarily because of their writing reflects who I am as a person, but I think the fact that they are both scholars within, like, historic scholars and cultural scholars of the topics that they write about is just, like, the epitome of everything I want to be and, like, achieve in my lifetime.
I totally get that. I totally get that.
That is just, like, I think I just have, like, the most respect and admiration.
I was about to say that specifically, like, if you were telling me what is an author that I genuinely am looking at with, like, constant awe and constant, I, like, worship the ground you walk on, I would say R.F. Kuang. Everything she's pumping out lately, I'm eating it up. Like, how can I make this part of my personality now?
She's
doing it truly like nobody else is doing it right now.
Yep.
Anyway, so before we jump into discussing more of our own thoughts and feelings regarding this book, I'm going to go ahead and read through the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. Quote, authors June Hayward and Athena Liu were supposed to be twin rising stars. Same year at Yale, same debut year in publishing, but Athena's a cross-genre literary darling, and June didn't even get a paperback release. Nobody wants stories about basic white girls, June thinks. So when June witnesses Athena's death in a freak accident, she acts on impulse. She steals Athena's just finished masterpiece, an experimental novel about the unsung contributions of Chinese laborers to the British and French war efforts during World War I. So what if June edits Athena's novel and sends it to her agent as her own work? So what if she lets her new publisher rebrand her as Jennifer Song, complete with an ambiguously ethnic author photo? Sorry. Doesn't this piece of history deserve to be told, whoever the teller? That's what June claims, and the New York Times bestseller list seems to agree. But June can't get away from Athena's shadow, and emerging evidence threatens to bring June's stolen success down around her. As June races to protect her secret, she discovers exactly how far she will go to keep what she thinks she deserves. With its totally immersive first-person voice, Yellowface takes on questions of diversity, racism, and cultural appropriation, not only in the publishing industry, but the persistent erasure of Asian American voices and history by Western white society. R.F. Kuang's novel is timely, razor sharp, and eminently readable. Without any further ado, let's get into it. So, trigger warnings, these were just on Storygraph because this book is so new. But if you it's remember so any, new. It's so new. We haven't done one of these in a long time.
Like drop like the book,
quick
record
turnaround,
next week.
Yeah. Less than a week. Yeah.
Yeah.
So trigger warnings, racism, death, cultural appropriation, rape, sexual assault, suicidal thoughts, war. Do you have others? If we have others, we'll mention them. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I go in now to R.F. Kuang's books with a certain level of expectation.
Uh-huh. Fair.
I'm not at all going to say that this didn't hit that because it absolutely did. So I think it makes me feel really excited to know that I'm going to pick this up and I know I'm going to like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
kind of the same feeling I get with Emily Henry, just very different vibes, obviously.
Obviously.
Like I know, like I heard everybody talking shit about Happy Place and I picked up Happy Place and I was like, yeah, no, this is still an Emily Henry. Like it's still,
yeah.
it still hits like that.
Okay.
And I think that R.F. Kuang is doing it for not the romance genre. She kind of does every other genre now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But so I was like, I got my highlighter out. I got my matching sticky tabs. I got my pens. I was like, I know I'm going to like this. Mm-hmm. So I'm really going to, you know, really going to put the effort into like reading it and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And of course, the irony of that was, like, I'm going to use my own brain to read this time. I don't have the audiobook. And then, of course, like, literally yesterday, the audiobook became available on Libby. And I was like, you know, that's evil.
Yeah.
But anyways, what were your feelings going into it?
So I didn't know much about it. I knew it was going to be way different from her other books.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. I knew it was something like about authors, like stolen, whatever. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And then I went to, because I did the audiobook.
Okay.
And I went to do it and I was like, oh my God, this is like literally like a day shorter than like all of her other books. Like in the time.
Yeah, yeah,
why,
yeah.
You know? Not like a full day, but like 12 hours. Like 10 hours shorter than all of her other books. Anyways. But I'm actually really glad I listened to it. I think the narration, because it is like it said in the thing where it's like this is such an enthralling first person narrative, and like hearing somebody speak out these delusional and like really fucked up thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it was actually kind of like very entertaining.
Right.
And so yeah, but again, like I said, R.F. Kuang is such a like immediate buy, immediately, like,
yes.
I know, even if it is some, I think, frankly, like, whatever genre she does, will be
she's
like,
doing
yep.
them all right now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's like, ooh, we did really like epic, high, kind of high fantasy vibes. Now,
yeah.
Babel was like
historical, like,
historical
fantasy.
Yeah. Like, it was real light on the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And real heavy on like the politics,
like,
which I really like.
Google. I had to go to Google
yeah.
and be like, what is this real? Like,
yeah.
Babel. I'm like, is this shit real? Nope.
It, literally though. And then there's this, which is like fiction.
Yeah.
There's no fantasy this time,
mm-mm.
which I thought was, I also didn't look at anything. Like I knew nothing. Mm-hmm. I only knew I was like, okay, I mean, I like the cover a lot. I think this is a stunning cover.
It is. Oh my God.
I love the more simple covers mm-hmm. that have been coming out lately from books.
Uh-huh.
So this one really like does it for me. And also like I like that the hardback is all white.
Ooh.
Somebody
I didn't know
said
that.
somebody made a point on TikTok. So I will not steal the credit for this
mm-hmm.
comment that I'm about to make. But somebody was like, look at like the detail level of the fact that the cover is all yellow.
Uh-huh.
And then when you take the cover off, it's white. because it's the same, it's the idea of the concept of the story.
Yeah.
Of June stealing the story and making it look one way, but on the inside, it's like the, it's hers.
The white bitch that stole. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I was like, oh my God. This woman.
Brilliant.
She knows what she's doing. So I really like, I can appreciate something like that a lot.
Just the attention to detail. Yeah, you're just you realize it or somebody points it out and you just go, oh my God. Like,
no way. As for the plot, I think this is one of those books where like the opening line is like, how can I now put this down? Because I can't, which was the night I watch Athena Lou die. We're celebrating her TV deal with Netflix. Yep. Like, huh?
Where is this going?
Where are we going with this one, girly? Go ahead.
My jaw dropped at multiple times throughout this book. I think just the audacity.
Oh, for sure.
Where I was just like, oh, I cannot believe.
Well, I love the slow way we get introduced to June.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, you know, I had no idea what I was reading because I didn't read the blurb.
Right.
But I was like, oh, so is June also Asian? At first, until the
I thought so too, yeah.
Until literally, because she's like being so bitter about Athena.
Right.
And I was like, I mean, I can get behind bitterness. And then I realized, I was like, oh, this is not just bitterness. This is not just bitterness.
No.
And I physically had to take out a tab color because I was like, oh, okay, we're going to be seeing a lot of racism.
Yes.
So the tab color originally was for racism and then it turned into audacity. Like,
okay, yeah.
White woman audacity.
The caucasity, yeah.
The caucasity, exactly. Exactly, the caucasity. And that was literally the most used color reading the whole book.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So it was interesting because, I think I read, the first all – I didn't read the blurb, but I just knew generally, an author steals and is trying to get away with, having
– right.
Whatever. Anyways, so for some reason I was like, oh my God, maybe Athena, it'll come out that Athena is the one, she's stealing these book ideas because she's so successful and then June's gonna find out or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I don't know. I don't know what I thought was gonna happen.
I genuinely had no idea.
I had no idea. But then in the first chapter, I was like, I was behind the bitterness too. I was like, damn, yeah, Athena kind of seemed like I was a little annoyed. I was like, the way that she was initially describing their dynamic and their relationship and the way Athena was just like, she didn't care about June's whatever. Like she said insensitive, she made it sound like she was saying insensitive things to June and everything. And I was like, maybe Athena is annoying. Like, I don't know. And then, it was a little 180 there, but
which I think was also like a way of R.F. Kuang doing the thing that we see happen all the time, which is like when any person of color is attacked like by a white person,
yeah,
and then the people are automatically willing to jump to the white person's defense.
Yep.
So I think that there was a level of R.F. Kuang wanting us to not really understand
the dynamic yet, yeah,
and then like hitting us in the face with the like,
no, this person's awful.
Yeah, yeah, with the, like, racism, the microaggressions, and little thoughts like that. And you're like, oh, I see.
Yeah, now I get it now. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is supposed to be a main character protagonist that I don't like.
Yep, yep.
Which I thought was, I mean, it's not hard to hate a racist. No. But I do feel like R.F. Kuang did a really good job of making June so unlikable without making it to the point where I was like, I can't fucking read about this bitch anymore.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? Yeah. Because usually when there's an unlikable main character, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't hang in here. But this was like, she was so horrible that I couldn't look away. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How many how many authors did you think of in like when
multiple times I was like at Colleen Hoover, at Tessa Bailey. I know we said we wouldn't mention these people anymore, but I was like, this is giving those people specifically. There were some very specific things that I was like, I feel like this is a call out. This is like subtweeting within within the text.
This is published for sure. Subtweeting.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there were a few times where I was like, that was very specific. There was something mentioned about some white woman's book cover looks exactly like another white woman's book cover. And I was like, I wonder where I've heard that from.
You know what was it? So they used Twitter. She used Twitter. She used, like, she referenced a lot of modern, like, aspects of the publishing industry. But it's like, I don't know, it's interesting because I think the social media platform that is leading in book sales and book, like book everything, is TikTok.
Right.
And so it was like there was no mention. And I think, like, I understand why. It's a rapidly changing platform, and it's also just like, so it's relatively new. But it like, it was interesting reading about like, oh, this is the publishing industry, blah, 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 like TikTok or Twitter and Instagram and all this stuff. But like not mentioning TikTok feels very, it felt like, like, oh, but like there's this huge piece that we know, because this is so realistic and so like it's pulling directly from like shit that's
currently happening.
And then like to not, like, I understand why TikTok wasn't in it, but it also felt like there was like, well, what about BookTok? BookTok would be leading all the stuff, like the conversations on BookTok, you know? I don't know.
And I think that was deliberate in a lot of ways, because she did mention TikTok's existence a few times with regard to, like, I don't know, teenagers doing dances and shit like that, you know what I mean?
Right.
So she did mention it, but I think that it had a, like, her avoiding mentioning BookTok has, I could see it for two reasons. One, she understands how much we hate those kinds of references. You know what I mean?
Okay,
like, readers hate. Like, if I had – I've read books where every time they mention TikTok, like, as an active part of a storyline, I'm like, this is really annoying. Like, this is really – I just – we're not – we're too in it right now for me to be like, I can read that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, even Hank has said with regard to his book, like, he wishes that TikTok was out when he – had started writing it, because it would have been perfect to pull in for his storyline. But I think in most other books, like, that does not apply, and I think it's annoying. My other reason is her books are really popular on TikTok. Like, I think there's like another level of both diversity and a lot of whitewashing on BookTok that we're still seeing. So I wonder if, like, perhaps she had thought about mentioning it and then been like, this is gonna open like I'm gonna have to, because it could go either way, right? Like, June could have used it as a like, my book should be doing well on BookTok, but now everybody's promoting diversity and da-da-da-da-da, you know. I think perhaps it would have been a little too inconsistent, because it is like both really strong, both on BookTok.
Okay, that's true.
And on Twitter, I agree with her. Like, Twitter is full of, like, white books. Like, you got to dig around on Twitter to find I mean, I don't know. Obviously, it's one of those things, too, where it's like you're given what you're looking at.
Right.
What you're looking for or liking and interacting with and things. But I think, like, Twitter's got a totally different algorithm than TikTok. And so I do think that that would have... I don't know. But I do think, like, had she mentioned it more, I don't think it would have been super annoying, you know?
Exactly. I think it could have, like, some sort – if – but you're right. Like, I don't know what angle of incorporating TikTok would have been best for the story, or if it would have even – but, like, I think just, like, more acknowledgement of it, because, like, the existence of it was there, and then, like, BookTok itself has been – it was like they talked about fucking BookTok in the hearing to like defend, like, it's a massive part of the publishing industry now. It's like, it kind of.
What year is this supposed to be set in? Now I'm thinking, maybe
BookTok wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, maybe, but she, like, said TikTok though. Maybe it's supposed to be like 2019 or something. You know, like when TikTok was a thing, but not BookTok.
Yeah,
yeah.
The birth of BookTok was very much pandemic.
Because this was related. Kind of all over the place in terms of, like, timeline.
Yeah, that's true. It did, like, it was, like, at least 2 years long, the book.
Yeah, but then also there were the flashbacks from college and things like that. So
yeah,
perhaps for consistency purposes, she was like, maybe not.
Maybe not.
Not this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
So.
Obviously. Go ahead.
I was going to say, this book was interesting because I feel like there weren't many characters.
Yeah.
You know, like it is mostly, like I feel like this, it's the first time in a long time I've read a book like this where it was like primarily focused on one character.
Mm-hmm.
One perspective. Like head. We're very much in her head and like we didn't get to know. Like there were really no other characters except for that like played massive roles in anything. Or, yeah. Like, you know.
I think it was also really interesting that we only got to know Athena through June's eyes.
Yes, yes.
So sometimes June loved Athena.
Yeah.
And then other times she could fucking stand Athena. And other times she fucking hated Athena.
Yeah.
And so I think it was really interesting to – I think maybe perhaps I just don't read a lot of first person anymore. Also.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially first person fiction where there's like some element of what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
Because like June is an unreliable narrator.
Yep.
In a lot of ways, because she hides things from us. She didn't tell us until like the middle of the book or towards the end, really, that she had also stolen like other things from Athena's desk, not just the last front manuscript. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, well, you didn't tell us that the night of, like,
I know, like part of me was like, at the end, was there going to be some reveal that she did like intentionally do something or like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was like, there could be some sort of twist where, like, this was all calculated to some extent.
Right. Because she really makes you feel like she's going crazy, one.
Yeah.
And in that way, she makes us feel like, what is the truth?
like what is she actually capable of?
Was Athena actually a bitch or, like, no, and also, is it kind of 50-50? Like, anybody can be not a cool, like not an amazing person, but also be not a horrible person.
Yeah.
But when you're only looking through the eyes of June, who, you know, notable racist, like you are very much like, I don't know. Like I was like, oh, I'm so pro Athena. And then she would say things about Athena. And I was like, is she just saying this because her feelings were hurt over something? Or is she saying this because that's like a legit thing that happened?
Right. What did you think about stealing or the writing the story about June's rape in college?
That's like fucked up.
That's fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. Like there were things where I was like, but is that true? Or is that just something that June is telling us because we can't know?
Yeah.
So because things like that made me go, oh my God, like that is kind of shitty from Athena. And the various people who have said like, oh yeah, she just kind of goes and talks to people
and
steals their stories. And then kind of puts them off as her own. And that's why June was like, why is this any different from what Athena does? I was like, oh, no.
But then wasn't it – how many people said that? Because, like, I know the ex-boyfriend, Jeremy.
I can't remember his name.
But the ex-boyfriend, another white man, said that. So it's, like, it's also, like, the bonding together of, like, of the white people who are, like
– exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's and like, everything what for this, trust. Like, smear campaign against a dead person. Like,
but like all writers do that too. Like, it's you are looking at things, you are recording conversations in your head. Like, everything is inspiration, and everything is. And so, at the same, it's like, well, yeah, no shit. I don't know.
No, I totally because, and I think that was one of the like deeper like themes. You know what I mean? Of like how. You know, how who tells the story matters. And that's why June is constantly like, well, I mean, who cares if I told the story if, you know, as long as the story gets told. And This, it was really like a mind fuck. I felt like this whole book. Like starting off with Athena choking to death.
I was on a pancake?
whoa. I was like, dude, what is this book? And then I was like, no fucking way that this is, as soon as like she's dying, I was like, oh no. Okay. I see where this is going. Mm-hmm. Because we saw the manuscript and I was like, oh God, it's like watching a car accident in slow motion.
Yep. Can't look away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on to discuss the rest of Yellowface, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
All right, let's continue the conversation. So,
yeah. I remember one of the... What was I going to say? Fuck me. I was going to say... Oh my God, it was like one of the first like panels I think she was on.
Yeah.
And she responded because they were like, oh, like, isn't it important? Or like the who stories you tell. And then she just goes off on this like...
Yeah.
Well, I think it's really dangerous to start like censoring who's like who can tell what stories and stuff. Like, would you tell a black author they can't write a white character and all that stuff? Right. And it's just like the most like, oh my God. Like, because it's like that is so many people's arguments and things nowadays. And it's like, well, no, then you're getting into censorship. And it's like, it's like in the idea. And then she also at one time like claims reverse racism. Yeah. Or whatever, and she's like being racist this towards bitch, a white person. No, but it's like those things that people are still, they're like, no, like a white person can be oppressed just as much as any other person of color. And it's like, no, they cannot. actually, and it's so like that was, there were times where I, like you said, it was like it wasn't too hard, or like it was an unlikable character, but it wasn't like you couldn't look away. There were times where I had to pause and just be like, I was infuriated by so much of this. And I had to like take a moment.
Yeah. And I think that's like part of it, obviously. Right. Is like, if it was just a book where we're supposed to like the main character, but I don't like them, then that's hard for me to get through. The fact that I know I was allowed to hate and I'm supposed to be hating June made it like really like made that not really a factor that I would have to stop reading, you know what I mean? Because I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to hate her, so I'm reading with hate but not in that way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think I am the type of person too that has to like pause TV shows or movies, or like completely like stop watching a movie if I have like too intense of secondhand embarrassment or cringe. I physically cannot continue to consume something at a certain point.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Like, I don't know, but I know a lot of people have that feeling.
Shit.
I just was thinking about the levels of her audacity throughout. But also, I really enjoyed the tie-in of, like, it's kind of, like, her own, obviously, it is her own, like, hubris, right? Taking her down. And I think that it was really interesting that at the end, we learned that, like, she's being haunted, right? Quote, unquote, by Athena, which I thought was, I was, like, is she kind of going crazy?
Because I thought she was too.
Right, because when she's at that reading and she thinks she sees Athena in the audience, I was like, is this just is it like Athena, or is this just a level of like white people thinking all Asian people look the same?
Yeah.
Right? But and then because we get the like Athena Lou's ghost account and like all these weird things happening, you're kind of like, what is going on? Like, was there a part of you that was like, is Athena alive?
Yes, there was a part of me where I was like, oh, okay, my God, maybe. Yeah,
I was like, I feel like I can't rule it out, even though we watched her die, right?
Yeah, very like, much watched like, her die.
I feel like this is maybe a possibility. So I think, I don't know, the last 100 or so pages, I felt like I was reading a horror novel.
Yeah. I was like, I thought somebody was going to die.
Same. I thought she was going to
kill. I thought herself. She was going to kill Candace. Oh.
Yes.
At the end.
I thought she was. Yeah. Once we learned that's what was going on, I thought she was going to kill Candace.
Yeah.
But I also, before that, thought perhaps she was going to commit suicide. It was kind of going in that direction a little bit.
I felt.
But she's kind of too much of a...
Like, I think she thinks... Like, she gets in these weird... She would get in these weird, like, almost manic moments.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was like, no, I'm going to fix it. Like, now I'm going to, like, tell everybody. And I'm going to write our story. And then I'm still going to be able to control the narrative. And blah, 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 all this stuff. So, like, she still has enough self-importance and, like...
Yes, entitlement. Yes, that's what I was looking for.
An entitlement where, like, I knew I didn't think she was going to end up killing herself.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah. I was just like, I feel like every time she got really low, she was like, it's okay. Like, my publisher is going to believe me. And that was, I think, really frustrating too, which I know I'm sure this does happen all the time. But, like, her publisher's constantly being like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, we'll just tell me you didn't do it. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So then you didn't do it. We believe you.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking frustrating. There were so many things in this book that were making me, like, viscerally angry, you know?
Yep.
And just being like, I also really liked seeing, like, a new side of the publishing industry. I feel like, one, authors don't talk about publishing a lot. But two, like, when June's character is, like, in the midst of all this controversy and she feels like she can't write anything. And so her editor's like, well, what if you try IP? I was like, huh?
What is this?
I had no idea that that was a thing where, like, there are things that need to be written by certain applicants and stuff that they don't have a writer for. So authors can just volunteer to write that thing and then they get an advance and not anything else.
Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. I had no idea. So now I'm looking at all these other, like, weird books that have, like, a bigger author or a used-to-be-popular author behind them that are behind, like, a very specific IP. I feel like that's really interesting. Like, I used to read a lot of, like, Doctor Who books.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who writes these? But that makes sense now.
Them.
Yeah.
I also love – so when – and then when he volunteered that idea and it was going to be, like, so fuck, like, The Handmaid's Tale
with really,
like, and she was just like, that is, like, she didn't say, like, how fucked up it was as a concept, as an idea. It was like, that will destroy my career.
Yeah
uh-huh. That response to it too was just like, oh, come on, man, it's so
and
much
more
than
that.
Mad.
And then she gets mad, she's like, oh, passing on this was a bad idea anyway. She, like, puts it in parentheses, like, because this other author, and it's, you know, perhaps Asian author because of their last name, right, wrote about it and got, like, it was really popular and da 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 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yep.
And it's just like, and now you're mad. Stupid bitch. Like,
stupid fucking bitch. There were so many things. And then, like, she kept, every time she was, like, trying to think of, like, new ideas to write and stuff, and she kept... She was like, well, I already have the research on, like, Chinese history and stuff, so I should just continue to write. And it's just like, oh, my God, no, stop. Like, ugh.
Absolutely. What authors do we feel do that these days a lot? I feel like there's somebody that I just can't think of off the top of my head.
Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I was so confused that you didn't lump her in with Emily Henry.
Tessa Taylor. No, you're absolutely right. I don't know how I also didn't do that. That's pretty funny. No, you're totally right. Like, oh, I've already written one Latina character. I guess I'm gonna do it again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so frustrating. But I really, like, respect R.F. Kuang a lot on every level we've already discussed, like, at the beginning. But also for her. Like, this is a huge call-out book to be a published author with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, like, a think piece or whatever. This is, like, a book that calls out the industry, calls out authors, maybe perhaps not by name, but by circumstances.
She called, like, out every player in the publishing industry. She called out publicists, editors, like, the publishing houses. She called out the authors.
Yeah.
She called out the fans. She called out the people. Like, she called every, like, nobody in this book.
Which, to some extent, probably almost never no one do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just really respect, like, the balls to the wall.
Like, here we go.
Like, I'm going to open this can of worms because nobody else is doing it. Like,
yeah.
Because these are obviously all these things discussed are things that I've seen in conversation online. Like, yeah. There was nothing in here where I was like, that never
No
happens.
New information.
Like,
no.
Yeah. It's like, no, these could be taken exactly from TikTok. These could be taken exactly from Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, mm-hmm. these various conversations that were being had. Including like every interaction that June has with other people at like panels and stuff. Like, right. all of these conversations are conversations that are happening.
Yeah.
Like, none of the audacity, right, is things that aren't – that are far-fetched. All of it is, no. like, very accurate information. So I just thought, like, goddamn, girl. Like, yep. you go for the neck. Go for the throat. Like, I love that shit, man.
Yeah.
Because nobody else is going to do that. Everybody else right now is like, ooh, look at my little cartoon cover.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. Like, I love those kinds of books. But I do appreciate the, like –
Let's put a magnifying glass on this. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, let's look into this. And you know what? Let's not only look into it, let's make it a whole engrossing novel mm-hmm. that you can't put down that makes you think. Like, yeah. fuck yeah, dude. I love that shit.
I do think this made me I'm gonna be so honest. I have been I've been getting a lot of Poppy War TikToks.
Have you?
I have. And I've just been, I found myself talking about Poppy War a lot more recently. Yeah. And I think I severely miss, because like this book was so good. It was like, it was beautiful. But like, again, it was first person from a very insufferable character.
Yeah.
And I miss R.F. Kuang's like the beautiful writing where you, like you read lines and you just have to like stop for a moment and just be like, oh my God. Like that was... You know, because, like, that wasn't this type of book.
No.
And, but, like, I mean, it was still phenomenal and I really enjoyed it. But I do, like, it's making me want to reread, like, one of R.F. Kuang's, like, beautiful, beautiful books that have, or maybe just scroll through that Twitter account where it just has all the, all the best lines.
The Rin bot or
the
whatever.
The Rin bot one. Yeah. Maybe I'll start there and then see if that satiates me.
And you know what I think is a really interesting thing off of what you said is like there were good lines in this book.
Yeah.
But the vibe was like, I hate this girl.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
so
it was like,
I can't like that line. Yeah.
Because it's also
your
that
brain
first
is fighting.
Because it's like it's a beautiful line, but it's coming from somebody that you like do not
yeah you're like oh but June fucking said it so
yeah
like this girl
yeah yeah
and you're like no I don't want to agree with you and like obviously we get the I think like R.F. Kuang does a really good job here of like giving us things that make June feel like a person
mm-hmm. yeah
like her you know sexual assault mm-hmm. situation in college like that
Relatable.
Experience made us go oh fuck you know
Yeah.
Yeah. We do relate to her.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting, like, way to make people go, I know I hate this character, but also that does not mean that bad things like
Don't
that
happen.
Should have happened.
Yes. No.
But we want, like, a specific bad thing to happen to her, but not that bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it really tests, like, the reader's, I don't know, morals. Not morals, but, like, the way in which you're thinking about what kind of punishment like a character should have,
right?
Like, what a character should deserve and things like that. So I thought that was really, really interesting.
I agree. Excellent. Amazing.
Amazing.
R.F.
Did you
Kuang
have lines
did it again.
That you marked?
No, I did not. Because
okay,
I listened
a
to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, fair. I marked a couple.
Let's hear them.
But and obviously with the context that I hate June, but these lines were good.
Yes, we can ignore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like in the very beginning, literally page 9, she says, jealousy is constantly comparing myself to her and coming up short, is panicking that I'm not writing well enough or fast enough, that I am not enough and I never will be enough.
Ooh.
Like those are like very much author.
Yeah.
Oh, this one was not June's line. This was somebody's Goodreads review for her.
Oh my god, okay.
And it's another iteration of the white woman exploiting sob story formula. Copy, paste, change names, and voila, bestseller. Like, literally, literally. called out. What else? I have two or three more. There weren't a lot where I was like, ooh, I love this. Like we said.
Did you catch the Taylor Swift line? The Taylor Swift call out?
I did catch the Taylor Swift call out. And I think the irony of all of this stuff going down right now, too, is pretty funny.
Yep,
of,
yep.
Like the timing wise of this book being published and such. But I think that's a really, not to open this can of worms, but I think that's a really, me putting my book down.
I know, I heard you. You're like,
this is like a discussion that constantly reminds me of hood feminism.
Okay.
Right? Like that white women feminism is not the same as feminism for people of color. And it is in fact more harmful often than good, despite it thinking that it's being good.
Okay.
So I think like June's character embodies
very
that
white feminist. Yeah.
Yeah. Very white feminist. Think she's like doing the right thing and that she's absolutely right. And just because she's telling these stories, not for her community, but for somebody else's community, oh, I'm uplifting that voice, right? Which is not the correct idea. So I think, you know, which Taylor also does the same. And like, listen, I can stand and still have a critical thought.
Right. You know?
Like it's not. And I think those are questions that do like, critiques and questions that do need to come up with people who I just thought, why is she dating Matty Healy, bro? Like it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I won't dive into that. I won't, but I do fear like it is giving you only care about issues when they're
when it's
going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Which is so somebody on Twitter was like, how can you say she's like racist or okay with dating a racist when remember when she made those Biden Harris cookies in response to Trump's racism? And I was like,
oh my god,
please get off the internet, you guys. Go touch some grass. Like, don't. Anyway, another thing I liked, but this was June, but I liked like if you could take it out of the context of the book, perhaps.
Yeah.
I want the world to wait with bated breath for what I will say next. I want my words to last forever. I want to be eternal, permanent. When I'm gone, I want to leave behind a mountain of pages that scream, Juniper Song was here and she told us what was on her mind. I like the sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and this is a double tab because it is tabbed for like, I liked the line out of context. But it's also a look at this entitled white bitch. If you think about it, right?
There I
were
want
so many times where it was like June is literally like I'm owed this. Like the universe owes me this.
I put my work in. Why did Athena have the success? It's my turn now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I don't. Or even when she gets Candace fired, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I hope I get that bitch fired. And then, you know, you see what happened? You see what happened?
Fucking karma, bitch. Yeah.
I liked Candace's note kind of at the end. Not note, but like thing she said. And if Athena is a success story, what does that mean for the rest of us? Candace's voice hardens. Do you know what it's like to pitch a book and be told they already have an Asian writer? That they can't put out two minority stories in the same season? That Athena Liu already exists, so you're redundant? This industry is built on silencing us, stomping us to the ground, and hurling money at white people to produce racist stereotypes of us. You're right, though. Every so often, someone in this industry develops a conscience and gives a non-white creator a chance. And then the whole carnival rallies around their book like it's the only diverse work to ever exist. I've been on the other side. I've seen it happen. I've been in the room where we pick our one spicy book of the season when we decide who's educated and articulate and attractive but marginalized enough to make good on our marketing budget. It's sick, you know, but I suppose it's nice to be the token. If the rules are broken, you might as well ride the diversity elevator all the way to the top. Wasn't that your logic?
Ooh-hoo. Yeah, that was really good.
Ooh-hoo.
That was very good.
Oh, and here's literally the following page. The most, I just hate this bitch, bro. in her head, she says, years of suppressed rage, rage at being treated like a stereotype, like my voice doesn't matter. Like the entirety of my being is constituted in those words, those two words, white woman, bubbling up inside me and burst. Like the audacity of this motherfucker. Like, what is wrong with this bitch? She's so, and the thing is like, it's so infuriating because that's how people are. Yeah. Like, it's not even like, oh my God, this character was so unlikable because, you know, so far out there. It's like, no, white women think like this.
Like, I wonder, I just had a horrible, horrible thought.
Oh, good, great.
Great, let me hear it. I wonder how many people are going to read this book and actually
and not
like,
get it.
And not get it. And completely miss the point and just be like, yeah, that's so frustrating for
And be like, June was a likable character. She just got, like, fucked over.
Yeah. She made one mistake. That's it. Yeah.
Which is really, honestly, wait, now I'm losing it. Because that's really, like, comparable to what happens, I don't know, somewhere in the middle where like, all of a sudden the white supremacists start rallying behind her.
Yeah.
And she's like, isn't it kind of ironic? Like, it feels like I'm kind of doing a good thing because they're behind me. Because now they're buying all these books
about the Chinese
laborers. Mm-hmm. And they're, even though, which is something they're probably, you know, not – they wouldn't like normally or wouldn't buy normally. Now, that's like,
but it's
this is
story.
Being shared. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is like,
so wait, far from the point.
Yeah. So far from the point. Yeah. No, but I agree with you. I bet there will be people who pick this up and they're like, yeah, June had great points. Like, she was really wronged. And
like, telling
was it really that wrong that she stole this story and all the things and da da da.
Yeah.
And it's, I do really love the way it ended too, with like June remaining in her Delulu state.
Yep. And like, she thinks she's really like, she's still gonna, like, we don't know how it's all going to unfold moving forward, but like, based off of how things have gone, she will probably continue to get away with it. And
yeah. Well, she's like, well, I'm writing. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to respond to Candace.
Yep.
And I really liked the touch that, like, Candace came up with, like, yellow face as what she would call her, like, expose or whatever.
Yep. And then
I was like, oh, shit, everything's coming together. Everything's coming together.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. Yeah. On that note, what did you rate it?
I think I'm going to do a 4.5 because the book was phenomenal, but it did make me miss, like, other R.F. Kuang books.
Fair. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Fair, fair, fair.
But excellent at what it was. Just not my, like, favorite R.F. Kuang book.
I agree with you on the not my favorite R.F. Kuang book. I still think Babel is, like, chef's kiss for me.
Yeah.
I agree with Time and their two-word note. Like, what's that called? On the cover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like a review. But it just says razor sharp. And I agree.
Ooh,
like, what a good way to describe this book. This was a 5 for me. I could not put it down. Especially once I was like, I don't know, 150 or so pages from the end. I was like, it genuinely felt like this is kind of a thriller. This is kind of like, there were so many things. I loved the call outs in the industry. There were so many, like, layers to it. I love, like I said, the vibe of the book itself being like yellow cover, then white on the hardback, and then yellow on the inside. Dude, like, so good. So good. And I would read anything this woman writes.
Anything.
Quite literally anything. So I hope she keeps pumping them out.
I didn't know she was in school again.
She's crazy.
She's
why do you write like you're running out of time?
Is there something we should know?
I know. Babel came out like less than a year ago.
That's insane.
Like 6 months ago. And
she has
this
homework.
Like,
this bitch has homework. She's in
school. Do your homework.
Like, what? But also don't. I want more books.
Yeah, don't. You don't have to. But but also, like, how cool. Because, I mean, obviously I have no idea what her advances look like and what deals for her book she's been getting. I'm curious about this one for sure.
Who's
the publisher?
The publishing house that
Morrow.
Strike, right?
No, I think she left them.
Oh, she did? Because I know she was Morrow. Protesting with them. Okay.
Let's see. I don't know who that is. Let's see. RF Kuang. Nope. Kuang. Nope. My fingers are in the way. Publisher. Richard Odo. HarperCollins. No. Her publisher went on strike for better pay. Yeah, but that's old. I don't know. Wouldn't HarperCollins say that they're HarperCollins? Or maybe it's one of the like subsects of.
I don't know how that shit works.
To be honest, neither do I. Yeah, HarperCollins. Ow, okay. I just bit my tongue.
Okay, time to stop talking now.
Yeah. Okay. Same. yeah. So yeah.
4.75.
4.5. Okay. Cool. Okay. I think that's where we're gonna leave it for this episode. Before we part, we'd just like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Hose Discord server via the link in the show notes, or send us an email at hardcoverhosepod@gmail.com. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I'm Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
I'm Sammy Skorstad.
And this has been an episode of Hardcover Hose. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next book on our to-be-read list is Those Who Wait by Haley Cass. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading.
Bye. Bye.